In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. As we read the Gospels and pray about the Gospels, we are struck by one particular thing which happens, which is that at a determined moment, the disciples go up to Jesus after they've seen him praying, and they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And perhaps that could be the starting point for our prayer tonight. We all, I suppose, have been trying to pray for some time now. Perhaps we think we're not very good at praying. So we can say to Jesus, "Well, teach us how to pray." What it is to pray. Because I suppose many people, praying is praying the set prayers, which of course is praying. And so, you know, the Our Father and Hail Mary, and sometimes say the Rosary and things like that, which is very good, of course, very valuable prayers. And they kind of take my sentiments up to heaven and do us a lot of good. But the disciples, I'm sure they would have known a lot of set prayers as well, and they would have been brought up in the Jewish faith, and there's lots of prayers just woven into their everyday life. So they were asking something more than that. They realized that Jesus was in communication with his Father. And this was a special relationship, a special way of relating to God. And they thought, well, why don't we ask if we can also be part of that? So we ask you now, Jesus, to help us how to relate to your Father. And what we know, which the disciples didn't yet realize, what you said at the Last Supper when you said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So we can pray to you, we can pray to your Father, we pray to the Holy Spirit. But what is it? What is it, the essence of this prayer? What do I have to do? Maybe that's a question that comes to us. What do I have to do to pray well? And it might be that at the time of day, you know, just after 7:30 at night, maybe I've had a long day and really I've been doing things all day, and maybe the prospect of doing something more doesn't appeal to me. You know, sometimes if we speak about doing my prayer, it can sound like another burden on top of everything else. That, you know, working all day, maybe I've been out and about, or maybe I've been at home and maybe I've had Zoom conferences, meetings, whatever, what have you. And so to do another thing might sound a bit much, but really when we are praying, it's not really a question of what I do, but it's what I allow God to do. What I allow God to do in me. And this is what we can learn when we pray, is allowing the action of God, the action of his grace within me is not a purely passive thing, because it's like actively allowing God into my life. Like I want to open the door, so I hope opening the door. I remember years ago there was a story that was told about a mansion house that was bordering the River Thames, and there the lord of the manor had a butler who bringing the tea. And anyway, there'd been several days of rain, and the river was rising, and the butler came in and said, "My lord, the rains have risen, and the likelihood is the house could be flooded." And so the lord says, "Very good, James, fetch me." And anyway, later the butler comes, "My lord, the river has risen and is now lapping around the doorstep." And he says, "Fetch me another cup of tea." And then there's a knock at the door later. And the door's open. He said, "My lord, the Thames." So comes in. Anyway, I mean, that's just a joke. But, you know, it's what we try to achieve in our prayer, isn't it? Not the Thames, but the Holy Spirit coming in, taking over my soul, the grace of God coming in. And for this, what I need to do is just try to clear the obstacles, really. Try to get rid of the kind of, you know, the selfishness and self-centeredness and all those things that block the action of grace. So I want to come to you, Lord, and say, "Come into my heart. Make yourself at home." And in fact, there's a very nice passage in the Gospels, which is towards the beginning of St. John's Gospel, when it's Jesus who invites into his own home. So the context is that John the Baptist has got a number of disciples, and one day he sees Jesus walking by, and he says to two of his disciples, who are John, later St. John, St. Andrew. So these two young disciples, John the Baptist says to them, "There is the Lamb of God." And they go and walk behind him. So Jesus turned round, saw them following, and said, "What do you want?" They answered, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where do you live?" Now, maybe that was a question that just came out. I hadn't prepared it. Maybe it was just the first thing that occurred to them to say it. But anyway, Jesus said, "Well, come and see. Come and see where I'm living." And I suppose he must have made himself some temporary shelter there. I mean, he'd left his home up in the north of the country in Galilee. He'd come down to the River Jordan. Maybe he'd constructed some kind of shelter with branches and leaves. I don't know. But anyway, wherever it was, he said to them, "Come and see." So he invited them into his home, into his house, into his intimacy. And we learn that this is what prayer is. It's kind of entering into the intimacy of God and allowing God into our intimacy. And I wonder what it would have been like for the thrill and an honor. I mean, here is a rabbi, you know, a teacher of the law, and most of the rabbis, I suppose, would be aloof, very kind of serious and so on and so forth. For this rabbi to be so friendly and to change his plans and to say, "Come, come and spend time with me. And so maybe we can imagine them sitting around, chatting, talking, Jesus saying, tell me about yourself, what have you done, your family, you know, all these things. And so they would talk about themselves, and they would ask him about himself, and they spent the rest of the day with him. So maybe several hours they spent with him, maybe they prayed together, maybe they recited some of the psalms, maybe they cooked something to eat, maybe they had sort of get-togethers and jokes, and maybe singing, who knows. They would have had a wonderful time with Jesus. And this is prayer. This is prayer. This is really what we are trying to do when we pray. When we come to you, Lord, we come to just have a time with you, a good time. Good time, even though sometimes we might have serious things on our mind and in our heart that are weighing us down. But it's a good time because we can just come to you and unburden ourselves. We know that you're there and that you're interested. And so, as I say, it would have been a thrilling experience for these young men to realize that this rabbi, this teacher, Jesus, he's someone who takes an interest and he listens to what we have to say. We come to pray. We want to come and pray often and get to know you better, Lord, and we want to learn to know ourselves better through listening to you. St. Jose Maria in Friends of God says, over the years, I have sought to rely unfalteringly for my support on this joyous reality. No matter what the situation, my prayer, while varying in tone, has always been the same. I have said to him, Lord, you put me here. You entrusted me with this or that, and I put my trust in you. I know you are my Father, and I have seen that tiny children are always absolutely sure of their parents. My priestly experience tells me that abandonment such as this in the hands of God stimulates souls to acquire a strong, deep, and serene piety, which drives them to work constantly and with an upright intention. So this prayer of getting to know our Lord and getting to know ourselves, knowing you, knowing me. So something sounds like Abba, but actually it was from St. Augustine. Over him, Te, and over him, I know you, may I know myself. And so this is what we are aiming at when we come to spend these times with you, Jesus. So these times that we spend together are, we could say, a source of divine life in us, because we come to realize the reality, love that you have for us, the interest that you have for us. I mean, just imagine if everybody in the world were convinced that you love them. I mean, the world would be completely transformed, wouldn't it? If everybody in the world realized that we have a loving Father, you are our friend and our brother and you care, and that we are the product of your love, and we're made for love. And if we exist, it's because you have loved us, and we can get to know you, we can get to love you, because you know us and you love us. It's a wonderful thing to reflect on that reality and just kind of let it sink in, really, that God loves me. That some people, I suppose, who go through the world, go through life very unfortunately, just thinking that they're not loved. This is not true, because everybody is loved by God with infinite love. And so this is what we come to be more and more convinced of through these moments of intimacy that we spend. So a lot of people who are trying to follow this path of sanctification, they set aside time of prayer, minutes of prayer, moments to be with you, Jesus, each day. Sometimes they feel enthusiastic about it, sometimes they feel a bit weary and come along and say, Lord, come to you because set aside a few minutes each day. Today I'm feeling tired or I'm feeling annoyed, something has upset me. You know, it doesn't matter, does it? We just talk just from heart. So we realize also that prayer isn't just reciting things, it isn't just reading things. I mean, sometimes we take a book along and it helps us, but we don't take it just to read it, we take it because the book may help us to have some idea that we can talk to you about, some reflection. But the main thing is that we talk to you about our ideals and our shortcomings and our desires, our goals, aims, the things we would like to do, the wounds that we suffer, all these things to you, so that we bring them into your life. And again, St. Jose Maria would advise us to frequently contemplate the scenes of the gospel, because these are a constant source of topic for conversation and help us grow in love for Jesus. So again, from Friends of God. My advice is that in your prayer, you take part in the different scenes of the gospel as one more among the people present. First of all, imagine the scene or mystery you have chosen to help you recollect your thoughts and meditate. Next, apply your mind, concentrating on the particular aspect of the Master's life you are considering: his merciful heart, his humility, his purity, the way he fulfills his Father's will. So, for example, today in the Gospel, we had the passage which relates the widow who put her two small coins in the treasury. So if we follow this advice of St. Jose Maria, so first of all, imagine the scene or mystery. So we imagine ourselves there in the temple, and I suppose a lot of hustle and bustle and people, some people coming and making large donations. I remember quite a few years ago, I knew through one of my priest friends, he had in his parish, there was a nun who was going to be professed in St. George's Cathedral in Southwark. She was Nigerian, and the order was Nigerian. And anyway, I was persuaded to go along to her profession. It was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I had an appointment here, or one here at six, so that should allow enough time. Little did I know. Anyway, so come the offertory. The offertory, first of all, consisted of, it seemed to me, every person in the church bringing some bunch of food or some individually into the sound of drum beats and things. noises and all this dancing. Anyway, finally, all the offerings were gathered together. And then a huge basket was placed in the middle of the church. And you had the same thing this time, and people coming and flamboyantly putting in money. So this was the collection. And, you know, to run drumbeat and dancing. And so on. Anyway, I mean, I was looking at my watch thinking, am I allowed to walk out of this ceremony halfway through, because it went on for so long. Anyway, I made it back. But the point is, it was a kind of flamboyant ceremony of giving money. And I just wonder whether in the temple there was this flamboyance in the rich people coming and giving all this money, and the other people thinking, wow, isn't that amazing? How generous. All this money. And here's this little widow who comes along and she gives these two small coins. And perhaps people would just despise her. Think, well, who's this old woman? You know, she's got nothing to offer. And yet Jesus doesn't, not only does he not despise her, but his heart is moved. See, so here in this advice we read, imagine the scene. Next, apply your mind, concentrating on the particular aspect of the master's life you are considering. Well, you know, this ability of Jesus to read the heart, to look through the appearances, and maybe we can say, well, you know, what can I draw from that, Jesus, just from those considerations? Maybe I have to say, well, actually, I do get led by outward appearances. I do make judgments of people. And, maybe I'm not very supernatural about it. Sometimes, maybe I'm very superficial. Maybe I criticize people. You know, I judge them rashly, and I have to realize that actually very often I don't know the full story. Maybe, you know, I heard some years ago about someone who was complaining to a man on the underground train. It was a kind of more or less empty carriage, but the man had two young children and they were running up and down creating noise. Can't you control your children? And the man said, well, he said, yeah, he said, I'm very sorry. They've just been to their mother's funeral and they don't know how to cope with it, and nor do I. So anyway, that's not the complaining man in his tracks. You know, there can be another side to the story and we can judge them. So maybe, you know, very often we have to say, actually, you know, do I? First of all, am I called upon to judge people, get involved in gossip, spreading unpleasant stories about people? And I don't have the facts, and I don't have any reason to gossip anyway. So what also we can draw from this is how Jesus' heart moved. He realizes that here's this old lady who is very, very poor, and she's very, very poor because she never keeps anything for herself. I mean, that money was for her sustenance, and she gave it away. She gave it away to God. She gave it to the treasury of the temple, and she would go hungry. And so it's real sacrifice. So Jesus' heart is moved by that. This thing of not knowing the story, I'm particularly struck these days because I have to go up and down the Euston Road quite a lot and in the car. And the Euston Road has been shut down to one lane. And so it means it's quite often a build-up of traffic. And the new breed of beggar has sprung up. People, these men generally coming along with their coffee cups, you know, holding it out in case anyone's got any change. And again, you might think, oh, because, you know, but you see, each one of them has a story. Maybe there's some mistake they made, or some unfortunate thing, and they lost their job or lost their family. You don't know, do you really? Don't know. And you know, this is what Pope Francis is trying to get us to do: is to open up our heart to those on the peripheries. So it's. This is just an example, you know, but this is what St. Jose Maria is saying. To get into the scene, to imagine the scene, next apply your mind, concentrating on the particular aspect of the Master's life you are considering. His merciful heart, his humility, his purity, the way he fulfills his Father's will. Then tell him what happens. What happens to you in these matters? How things are with you? What is going on in your soul? Be attentive, because he may want to point something out to you, and you will experience suggestions deep in your soul, realizing certain things. Healing is gentle, reprimands. So yesterday, of course, we had the feast of Christ the King, and we had the Gospel of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor spirits. And again, maybe there we can imagine ourselves in the scene, sitting on the grass next to Jesus, spoke to the crowds, and we maybe wondering how many people are taking in these words of Jesus. Looking at all that variety of people and praying that his words may reach men's hearts, but also that they may sink into our hearts as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The newspapers today are full of good news that we can have a spending spree at Christmas. But maybe, well, being poor in spirit, maybe I am a bit sort of over attached to things and comforts and consumerism and materials and things like that. And maybe I'm a bit wasteful. So, you know, there's always something maybe that I can learn, something I can reflect on, something that makes me think, well, what about you, Jesus? What is your attitude to material goods? And we say, well, you had material goods, but you didn't have many. You had the things you needed. I suppose when you were working, you had tools of trade, and your family had a donkey to travel around on, and you had a good quality robe that the soldiers didn't want to tear at the end of your life. So it wasn't that you were in absolute debt. You didn't have luxuries. You didn't get bogged down by material possessions. Sometimes you had to go without food. Sometimes you didn't have to sleep. So there's always something that we can reflect on by comparing our life to yours. So teach us to pray, and teach us also, of course, that we have a great ally in our prayer, is your mother, that you've given us your mother to be our mother. She's the one who knows you best, of course. She knows every aspect of you, and she's the one who's going to help us to get to know you better, because to know you is to love you. To love you is to try to adapt our lives more and more to you. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.